Blog Talk Radio.
We still the only ones on the line, Apostle.
Really?
Yeah. I'm gonna try to. Oh.
When all seems hopeless,
radio broadcast. This is Evangelist Watson, and I want to say hello and welcome to all our listeners out there. And I want to say welcome to the one and only Apostle Deborah Deans. How are you today?
I'm blessed and highly favored, Prophetess Watson. How are you?
I'm blessed and not stressed. How about that?
Come on now. I'm not stressed either. Now,
amen.
I'm not stressed. I push that stuff aside.
Well,
amen. We just thank and praise God this evening for being able to come together again in the name of Jesus on our radio broadcast. We want to give thanks. We want to thank Prophetess Watson for being there today for us and engineering for us on today. I thank and praise God for her and everyone in their respective places. I thank God for you as well and everyone in radio land. I'm indeed glad to be here. I thank God for another opportunity. I'm so grateful on today. Sometimes we just take so many things for granted. But I am so grateful and humble just to be able to communicate with all of you. It's a pleasure and indeed an honor to study with you the Word of God. I'm going to call the Bible study to order. I'm going to read a scripture and pray, and we're going to get started. Amen. I'm going to be coming from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 with the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain they covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims upon me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. I just read you from Isaiah chapter 6, from the first verse down to the seventh verse. May God really add a blessing to the readers, most of all the doers of his most holy word. Lord, we come tonight humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, Father, asking you right now to forgive us for every sin that we've committed against you, known and unknown, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we come if we've offended anyone any kind of way, Lord. We ask you to forgive us right now. Search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. If there is anything that's in there that should not be, we ask you to remove it right now. Lord, I ask you to cover our mind and our thoughts in the shed blood of Jesus. Father, now I come right now taking over the atmosphere. I take control over this atmosphere tonight. I take control over the airwaves. Lord, I release your anointing right now over the atmosphere where we are, Lord, over the airwaves, over the radio broadcast. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to let your anointing just permeate the area, the atmosphere, in the name of Jesus. I ask you right now to let it permeate right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you right now, Lord, to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and teach your people, Father. I give up my will, Lord, for your will. I lay down my will, Lord. Anything I think I want, Lord, I give it up to you today, for you today, unto you today, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, to let us have a good understanding of your word, Lord. Make it, give us simplicity with your word. Simple, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, bless everyone that's upon the sound of my voice. We ask you right now to bind the strong man right now in the name of Jesus. Bind up every evil thing to try to distract on this line on tonight, every evil thought. Bind it up right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I give you glory, I give you praise, and I give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank God. Amen, amen. Again, I thank God for all of you that's on the radio broadcast and to everyone in their respective places. Lord, I thank you. We're going to be talking on Jeff, and I want you all to talk. We're going to be talking tonight about can a believer be demon-possessed? Can a believer in Christ be demon-possessed? I believe that the Bible teaches that a Christian can be influenced, oppressed, and vexed by satanic and demonic powers. I do not believe that a believer in Christ can be indwelled or possessed by a demon spirit. And the reason why I'm asking this today, because I've been through some in the last couple of days, and it almost made me feel like I was possessed. But I know that I'm not, because I've been praying. Believe me, I've been praying and praying. One day, a Monday, I think it was Monday or last week, I prayed 6 hours. I mean, I was just praying and praying. So, if you have a demon, if you're a demon possessed, you're not going to pray like that. And I pray all the time anyway. But it just kind of, the enemy wanted me to think that. You know, when you see the word of God say, so a man thinketh, so is he. And we have to be very careful about what we think of ourselves. But I was just attacked, and I'm getting tired of those. I'm getting tired of them. I'm ready to fight even the more. I'm fighting in prayer, but not like I want to, because when God finished with me, when he gets through strengthening me and all of that, they going to tremble when they hear my voice. I'm telling you, because I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to back down from them. So I want every believer on this line and on radio broadcast to know that you cannot be indwelled in your body with a demon, because you have the Holy Ghost down on the inside of you. First of all, to me, now I'm just staying with me, and if anybody have any comment or anything that they want to say, they can say it also. But I just feel like a true believer, Christian, cannot be, and I thought they could, but I studied and prayed, and they cannot be in a demon-possessed. They cannot be demon-possessed. Many theologians and Bible teachers disagree with that issue. And we have, and I have some scripture to back this thing up, like King Saul of 1 Samuel, and I'm just going to read that at 16 or 14. You know, I really thought he was possessed because the way he was after David so hard. Let me see, 16 or 14. he was after David like he was going to kill him. But it says, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, it says that the spirit of the Lord left Saul when they leave you, when the Holy Spirit leaves you, of course other spirits will come in. And an evil spirit, and this spirit was sent from the Lord, troubled Saul, whatever his name is. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is cunning, is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, then the evil spirit from God, this spirit, evil spirit, was sent from God, is born up on thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto the servant, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. And that's when David came in the picture. But Saul was possessed by a spirit, an evil spirit that God sent to kind of torment him. But it didn't say anything about being possessed. This was just a torment. And then over in Matthew 16 and 23, about Apostle Paul, 16 and 23, it says, for that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of man. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So Jesus rebuked Peter and told him he was an offense unto him because he was trying to rebuke Jesus. Peter was trying to rebuke him. Mm-mm. And then in Luke chapter 13, verse 11, let's see, it says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and they're talking about the woman, amen. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself, but she was bent over, way over. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thy infirmity. And he said his hands on her. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God and the ruler. Okay, so the woman was afflicted with a physical deformity, and most of the time demon possession, or well, demons do that. I don't think God would bend you over and make you stay like that, especially if you're in the Lord. But he told her, he said, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And John chapter 13 and 27, now this is talking about 13 and 27, Judas. who turned on Jesus, one of the disciples. Simon Peter therefore beckoned unto him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into Judas. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. And no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Well, and I still I don't think he was possessed, but the demon did enter into him. So, and Judas hung himself, and we all know that. Does anybody have any questions or anything before I go any further? And I'm not going to go through all these. In all the passages I read, none of these passages actually says that a demon took up residence within a believer.
Praise
Judas
Lord.
Was clear. Praise
Hello.
The Lord.
I'm sorry,
Hello.
My phone was mute. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh, my phone was on mute. I was trying to say something. I was talking, and I was like, oh, no, she can't hear me. I was going to say that, you know, this is a really, really important teaching, and I know a lot of people, you know, they might be already wrestling in their spirit about, can a Christian be demon-possessed? And and I've heard this is not the first, you know, time that people had this discussion or debate.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to add to what you're saying, that what you're teaching on, is what the Holy Spirit gave to me, is absolutely correct. A Christian, full-fledged, Holy Ghost-filled.
Come on now.
Okay. let me emphasize. It cannot be demon-possessed. We are all demon-oppressed at times.
Uh-huh.
Like, we have spiritual attacks where they oppress us spiritually, or they can attack us, but they cannot live in us and take over us. That's what possession is. That means to take residence in. And in the scriptures, it talks about, first of all, good and the Holy Spirit can't even dwell in an unclean temple, period.
Right.
So the devil can't dwell there, and the Holy Spirit. So if you are Holy Spirit filled, not just because you go to church and you gave your life to the Lord, okay, but filled with evidence of speaking in tongues, filled. Because the discrepancy here, and I think the reason why they put it all in the same nutshell of saying, yeah, Christians can be demon-possessed, because if you look at it in a way where you say, okay, I'm a Christian, I go to church. Yeah, but are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Are you anointed in the power of the Holy Ghost? No.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's not walking around like that, you know? So, yes, in reference to that kind of way, if you're just titling yourself as a Christian, yeah, you could be a Christian possessed. Because you're not walking, you don't have no power, you don't have no Holy Ghost, you ain't practicing, you just out there, you're still in the clubs, you're still doing what you want to do, but you show up at church on Sundays. So what happens is that's what leaves that gray area for people to say, oh, yeah, all Christians can be possessed. No, not all, just the ones that ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. Because once the Holy Ghost takes possession of us, because that's who's got possession, he's in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
God, he said, I'm not even dwelling in an unclean temple, meaning even it don't have nothing to do with the devil. Sometimes we can be unclean with our mouth, unclean
right.
with our behavior and how we act,
mm-hmm.
you know, unclean with how we do things. If you smoking and drinking, that ain't the devil, that's you. And
that's
the Holy
right.
Spirit ain't going to dwell in that, you know. So
that's right.
You know, we can really open this really, we can open this up. Because it's not just
mm-hmm.
being a Christian that everybody who says I'm a Christian ain't going to heaven. There you
That's
have
right.
it. So, you know, what you're teaching, I've been waiting for a long time for somebody to actually take the time to teach it. Because the Holy Spirit, you know, I'd be the only one in the class raising my hand up, talking about, no, you can't be possessed by the devil and everybody ready to throw stones. So it is a teaching, you know. It is a
uh-huh.
teaching that is valuable. And so I just wanted to add that. Okay.
Amen. Thank you so much. Anyone else have anything to say? Prophetess Watson did a good job because, believe me, people try to say you can, but you can't if you actually feel with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. I kind of thought you could too. But my thing was not so much as you can be possessed by a demon, but that you can be, you can leave God yourself. You can leave him yourself. And that's what I read about Judas. He left God. And Peter, I think it was one of them I read about a little while ago. And Judas, and that's how Satan entered in, because he walked away from Jesus. Jesus didn't leave him. He left Jesus. So I know that you can, they were saying, once you in there with God in his hand, you can't, no a man can pluck you out. No, they can't, but you can get out. And you can say, hey, I ain't got time for this stuff no more. I'm going on do this, and this. And like that. Well, it's different when you can. But with being a believer and being demon-possessed, the Holy Spirit lives down on the inside of us. And when we don't have the Holy Spirit down on the inside of us, we don't belong to the Lord. We don't have, if nothing is down in there, like it was Judas, we don't belong to God. Not at all. Okay. Some people that thinks that believers can be demon possessed often base their conclusion probably on something personal experience. Rather than on the word of God. And others have observed in their lives a professing, they live like they're a professing Christian. And from their observation, they conclude that believers in Christ can be demon-possessed. But I just don't believe that. I don't believe that if you don't leave Christ, if you don't walk or turn your back on the Lord, I don't think you can be possessed. But if you get out of God's hand and walk away from him, I think the enemy going to run and hear up and possess you. And like today, when I've been getting attacked, because I've been preaching a lot, I've been ministering a lot and stuff, and so I've been getting attacked. So it had me feeling like I was possessed of some kind, and I was feeling like it. You know, he had me feeling like it. But I had a bad night last night, and I asked you all on last week, how do you know? How does it feel to be attacked. I don't want you to get it twisted and think you're possessed, because it feels some kind of type of way. You know, I told you, when I got attacked, I started feeling lethargic. I started feeling lightheaded. I started not wanting to study and read like I usually do and pray. Just being attacked, and distractions are all in your way and everything. Every time you look up, it's a distraction. Every time it's a distraction. Well, do this. Don't do that. Well, go in here and put that book back in. And so I study while I'm at home. I'm always studying, always have books on my bed, always sitting here on the side of the bed most of the time. That's why I spend my day, the side of my bed, with about 12 books right here, just going through scripture after scripture, because I know I'm in leadership. I need to stay on it. I need to stay on it. I want God to speak to me. I want him to say I'm not studying to show myself approved. I am in the Word of God, and I pray and study and pray and study. So the enemy was still trying to throw me a curveball. But believe me, I sent out some texts last night, and I see them. I sent out one Facebook text that said, is there a prophet in the house? I got nobody responded but one prophet. It may be more now, but it was one prophet. And I went back to David and I said, all I need is one true prophet to rise up. And I got a true prophet that rose up. He texted me. Mm-hmm. And so I thank and praise God for that. Because if you're not a prophet of God, you need to get on off saying, calling yourself a prophet. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on, and you need to know. You know, and especially when you're on there every day, all day, every day talking, and you don't see that request, somebody could be about to jump off the bridge, commit suicide, anything, but you don't have time or you want money. It's something. So, now we're going to talk a little bit about spirit indwelling. First, the Holy Spirit, the third member of the triune God, he dwells in every believer in Christ. The Holy Spirit, which is the third member of the triune God, he dwells in every believer in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? The Holy Spirit inhabits all believers in Christ in this present age. He has converted their physical bodies into a temple or dwelling places of God. It is unthinkable that the Holy Spirit would share his dwelling place with a foul spirit. He won't do it. He won't do it. He's not giving up his temple for no stupid foul spirit, no evil spirit. Mm-mm. Anyone want to say anything? Do you have anything you want to say? What harmony has Christ with Belial? Nothing. Or what in common? Just like Prophetess Watson said, what do we have in common with the enemy? We should have nothing in common, not one lie in common with the enemy. Nothing in common has Christ with Belial. Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. This is God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. 1 John 4:4 adds, from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. If the Spirit lives in a Christian, and the Spirit is greater than Satan or any demon, how could that demon ever enter the person and take a residence? A demon is not able to enter into and take control of a believer's physical body because the Holy Spirit lives there. They can't do that. Just think of this. Because the Holy Spirit lives in the material house of a believer, then every time a demon knocks at the door, the Holy Spirit answers. Since God, the Holy Spirit, is stronger than any demonic being, including Satan himself, then no demon or evil spirit could enter. It's that simple. God is greater than Satan, thus he protects his children. And that's what, when I got ministered to today, and I had some people calling me, they were saying it might have been trying to enter, but he can't dwell in that temple with the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for it, because I feel good. I feel blessed. Jesus used the same analogy when he refuted the Pharisees. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and does not find it. That's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. And it's like the demon is searching for a new home because he was out of the individual home he once occupied. The word for cast out is, the word for cast out is exertion, or I can't even pronounce that, whatever it is. But cast out means kicked out, thrown out, pushed out, whatever. And it's the same word used for departure of a demon and other possessions. Amen. Anyone have anything to say? Then the homeless demon.
Amen, I do.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I was just going to say that, you know, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, and my phone is ringing, and how powerful the Holy Spirit is, I believe, too, what we have to get an understanding of, and this is one of the things that, you know, I've learned through, you know, through dreams and visions and everything else God be dealing with me in. He showed me how when you're being delivered from something, a lot of people want to be delivered, and a lot of people seek deliverance in their personal lives. And and the whole, God, you know, I was just seeing how that one day I had a dream, and God was just showing me about deliverance. He teaches me on it, and he was showing me how when someone gets a spirit cast out, that it is important that right then and there, we have to ask for the Holy Spirit to come in right then. The scriptures talks about how, you know, when the spirit, when the house is cleaned and the spirit goes, it's empty.
Mm-hmm.
It's an empty house. And we need to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of people are still like, oh, I can't get it, or, well, I'm automatically have it because I confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You don't automatically have it, okay? That's another myth. You don't automatically have it. Just like the 12 apostles, they walked with Jesus, they talked with Jesus, they did miracles with Jesus, they went everywhere with him, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet because the Holy Spirit wasn't there. But in order to get it, they had to they prayed on one accord, you know. And then when they wanted to get the Holy Spirit into other people, they laid hands on them and ask for the Holy Spirit to come. And so a lot of us, you know, in our salvation, we have not finished the process. to be an overcomer. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, you know, we get stuck on Jesus come in my life. Okay, I'm done, right? And, you know, a lot of times it's more to it. Not a lot of times. It's just more to it. One is confess, repent, and ask for forgiveness. Two is be baptized. Number two, confess, repent. Two, be baptized, right? And then it's get the Holy Spirit. And some of us ain't got number two yet. You know, there's a lot of people been baptized when they was 12 and came back to the Lord.
Right.
And they're like, okay, I'm good. But, yeah, the Holy Spirit is a requirement for us. It's not an option for us. And I'm totally in agreement because, like every believer, we got to have this. It's not an option. If you don't have it, get it. And if you're in this ministry, you got to have it, you know. We're fighting demons every single day, you know, and you're going to be around that or you're being a part of that. And if you're not, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're vulnerable. You're very vulnerable.
That's right.
And we need to know that, you know.
Right.
I know a lot of times we don't know this. We don't learn it. And I thank God that we have a forum where we can sit and talk about this stuff. We can really sit and say, yeah, this is what happened to me and this is what happened, you know, and we can get understanding. It's a blessing that we have a woman of God that's going through it and can tell us and have experience to say, yeah, you're not crazy. You felt something on your bed. Yeah, that's what this
that's
is,
right.
you know. Because I remember when I first got saved and I used to feel this stuff going on, I thought I was going crazy. And everybody else said I was going crazy. You understand? And then you just start to feel crazy. And it makes you, you know, want to turn away from being a Christian because you're like, golly, I got to feel stuff calming on my bed. I got to feel, I don't need to be saved. That's what it, you know. So I thank God for the understanding and the teachings that we do have and being a part of this ministry because it's something that's definitely a lot of people don't know, you know. Don't know, don't tell, right? That's how people live in. So I just thank God.
Stay on. Amen. Amen, Prophetess Watson, absolutely right, because I tell you, everything I say I'm going to teach or talk about, I end up going through this stuff. And I know the Lord wants me to have a good understanding and experience in it, because I have never been through this, what I went through these last two or three days, even though at the revival I prayed for people. And, you know, and all that. And, you know, I don't know what may have happened, but my armor bearers know that I got attacked on the way home in the train, on the train, and in the train station. So when you go through that stuff, you wondering, do my babies know how this feels? I want to let them know. I don't want them to go through anything, and they don't know what they're experiencing. So that's why I start telling them. You feel lethargic when you get attacked. You feel lightheaded. You feel like stuff pressing on you. You feel your bed shaking. You feel all kind of stuff. Confusion in your mind and not want to study, not want to pray, not wanting to read. You feel all that. Then you get someone, you stay in one spot forever. Don't come out your house or nothing. So, you know, it's a lot of different things, and you feel fear sometimes. You feel all that kind of stuff, all of that. And then I was downstairs this morning. It was 3 something, and my husband was upstairs in bed asleep, and I heard people stuff walking around up here. I ran right back up here. The devil is a liar. You can't stay in here. You got to leave. And he said, what? I said, were you up walking around? He said, no. So, you know, but it's only attack and the enemy will play with your mind. That's why you have to know that you know what you know. That's what you have to do. And I've had several today tell me it was just an evil spirit because I was attacked. And people sent stuff. One apostle called me and said it was a juju and they was trying to pronounce a curse over me. All that kind of stuff. And believe me, last night I was laying here and I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, get up and go get that curse breaking book. that and read that crap. Couldn't find the prayer, but I'm going to find it tonight, and I'm going to read it. Because the devil's in hell is not going to stop me from staying and doing what God has told and asked me to do. No, he's not. I want everybody to stay focused because the man of God did say my arm bearers was going to be attacked. And I don't like people speaking that, but he said, because you all are praying for me and that God had took you all to another realm in the spirit. So we have to be really, really prayerful, stay prayerful, do your fasts and praying. And I told you your requirements for this ministry anyway is to fast and pray. So,
That's
the Spirit
awesome.
Of God. Mm-hmm, yes, ma'am.
Hi, this is Triviana. I just got a quick question. Mm-hmm. How do you know when you're filled with the Holy Ghost? Because I still can't speak in tongues, but it's not nothing I've been necessarily praying about. I want to know how do you know when you feel with the Holy Ghost?
I mean, speaking in tongues is one way. But just as sure as you want it, just as sure as you ask God for it, he'll give it to you. All you have to do is ask him and be serious. And every day you get up, you start trying to speak in tongues. And then the Holy Spirit will take it on. It's something you have to want. He want to give it to you. But you have to want it in your heart and mind and spirit. And when you want it bad enough, you know, I can get on this phone with you and pray, and you'll have it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want you, I'm going to be praying for you with that, but we can get on this phone.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it too many times and pray. Mm-hmm.
Amen. I know in the old days, a lot of times, a lot of believers have the Holy Spirit and don't know it because, you know, they have not spoken in tongues, but that's,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is not there. It's just that it ain't manifested itself all the way in you yet. And that's
right.
When, like, in the old days, that's when the women who were Holy Ghost filled, they would surround the new believer who just got the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and they would press in to your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They'll press in. They'll tap in to their Holy Ghost and link to yours.
Hello.
And then
that's
what
right.
happens is when that happens, you'll feel out the belly of your stomach something rumbling, like, and you will lose your language. Like, you may start off saying, thank you, Jesus, and that thank you, Jesus will turn into a whole bunch of different stuff, and you'll be stammering. You may not even be able to form the words yet. Your lips will start to tremble and stammer, but it's
mm-hmm.
almost like the spirit, you have to learn how to stir it up, and that's done through prayer. That's done through fasting.
Yeah.
That's done through reaching out and reaching to God, you know. And once you
mm-hmm.
learn how to stir your spirit, and your spirit is used to being stirred, when that happens, then you're fully like immersed in the Holy Spirit, and so then you can freely just talk. You can freely just tap into the Holy Spirit. But see, you haven't been released. It's almost like you haven't been released yet. Like it's there, but you just need some believers to tap in with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And when they get around and lay hands on you, trust me, you're going to know. You're going to see what's in you. You're going to see what's in you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, be encouraged. And that's for everyone, anyone. A lot of times we haven't had the opportunity to experience speaking in tongues. Doesn't mean
mm-hmm.
you have the Holy Spirit. It just means you ain't tapped all the way in to the, you know, make that part come up. But once it come up,
mm-hmm.
it ain't going to never go back down, you know. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
okay.
That's a blessing. That was good, Prophet Watson, because a lot of people are walking around with the Holy Spirit, and the tongues is just one evidence.
Mm-hmm.
One of the evidence. It's not that you have to have just have tongues right now. They're gonna come. Tongues will come.
Yeah, they will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
okay.
Like you say, yes, ma'am.
God bless you.
God
I just
bless
wanted
you.
To say, we used to have to read Acts 2:38, and when we read it, it gave us a little understanding of how you speak in tongues, or what the or the reason why you speak in tongues. And when we had to read it, we had to learn how to wait on God, and to you know, learn how to wait on Him. And like I said, you know, once you had to, you know, find out what praise you wanted to use, was it if it was hallelujah or thank you Jesus, or if it was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, however way you had to, whatever praise you knew how to call on. It just said whenever you called on, whatever praise you decided, it's like God had to, you had to wait on God. God had to teach you how to wait on Him so He can give you what to say. Because sometimes some people be thinking that somebody else can give you what to say, but it's you have to learn how to hear the voice of God, because the more you say it in your prayer time, the more God will build it up, and then that's when He will allow His Holy Spirit to fall on you. It's just a gift. Like even when your birthday comes, you know how sometimes, you know, God, somebody may bless you with a birthday gift. All it is, and you know how you wait till your birthday time comes, and it's like, okay, my birthday is coming. And it's like, you don't know who gonna give you a gift. And you know how you
that's
get
right.
so excited. That's how it is. When you looking to receive the Holy Ghost, you know you don't know when God gonna give it to you. But the more you pray and seek Him for that, that's when He will come and allow the Holy Ghost to come upon you, because He know you've been practicing in your prayer time, calling on Him. You've been calling Him. You've been crying out to Him, like, God, I'm God. I need You. I can't do nothing without You. I just need You to give me the words to say. You know, on blessing me to receive this gift that You promised me. And whenever you decided to do that, and that's when the Holy Ghost will fall upon you. And when it falls, you will know that this is truly the Holy Ghost, because it's a feeling that can't nobody tell you about. It's a feeling, it's like, oh my, it's like you just, it's really no words to say how it feel. But you'll know, because you'll know you got it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And
right.
I just want to just encourage her spirit, just so she'll know, you know, that when the Holy Ghost will come, this is, you know, once you read Acts 2:38, you know how people talk about it, but when you read about it, you can get more clarity on what they're saying. So, you know, I just wanted to just give her just a little nugget on tonight. Bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Prophetess Dorita. For that, because, and it's good to read Acts 2:38 too, or you can read maybe from 2:30 to 2:38, and it'll give you an understanding of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of the Lord, and it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It talks about, it talks about being filled, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So, and it's, I mean, when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I didn't tarry. I asked the Lord to, I said, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Ghost within me. That's how I said it. I said, if You would please send Your Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what He did. From that moment on, I started speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, or speaking in tongues. It just started flowing. And so I helped several people. I laid hands on people, and they spoke just like that. So, and some of them think because they was just saying half and little parts of it that they wasn't filled, but No, you are filled. They have to develop. Some people just can flow right, and some people it has to develop. That don't mean you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So that was, we want to thank you, Prophetess Dorita, for that. And want to encourage you, Prophetess Latriliata, we want to encourage you, just stay focused and stay encouraged. So I'm not going to hold you. Anyone else have anything to say before we get ready to close out?
I just wanted to encourage Prophetess Latriliata to, just like Prophetess Watson said, a lot of times we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And and I believe that the tongue is there. You just have to open your mouth in prayer. And, I mean, sometimes it sounds weird or strange, you know, and that's what tongue is. But if you just open your mouth and begin to let it come out, it'll flow out, you know, and it'll sound strange at first until, you know, God begins to develop you. But I believe that it's there. And if you just, you know, begin to open your mouth, it's going to come out. And I just wanted to encourage her to just pray. And that tongue is going to flow right on out. Amen.
Man, that's awesome. Yes, ma'am. Prophetess Sadler, that's true. And it'll come right on if she'll just. Yes, and you have to find yourself doing it as much as possible. You have to find yourself in your prayer closet as much as possible. You have to. You can be sitting on the bus, but your mind and your heart beat unto the Lord. That's how you have to do it, and do it to yourself until you can get in your prayer closet. I keep a prayer on my heart all the time. All the time. I don't care what I'm doing. I keep a prayer on my heart. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Anyone else? Amen. We're going to get ready to close out. I want to just thank everyone for being in the Bible study and putting your sharing with us, your party and sharing with us what thus says the Lord. And I just thank and praise God for each one of you and the ones in Radio Land also. We're going to be back on Thursday at the same time, at the same place. And we hope to see you. We're going to finish talking about, can a believer be demon-possessed? And just come with your knowing, whatever you got to come with, come on with it so we can discuss it. Amen. Father, we just thank you on tonight for your word. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for us, Lord. We thank you for sending your only begotten Son to us, Father, for the remission of our sin. I ask you right now to cover each one up under the sound of my voice, Lord. Cover right now in the shed blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. I thank you right now for the holy days, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the Feast of Trumpets in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I give you praise. I give you glory on tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord, for connecting the teaching and making it just simple to us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, I say you be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. And you know if y'all have any questions or anything, please don't hesitate to call me. And you all keep me lifted up in prayer as I will do for you. I love you. You all have a blessed night. We're dismissed. Thank you.
Love you, too.
Okay.